Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Clayton, and I am the lead pastor here at Central. And I don't know, I think your family is probably just like my family. When we want to figure out where we want to go eat, we say, hey, where do y'all want to go? And my family always says, I don't care, right? And then you choose something, and then what do they say? No. Like, you're like, come on, you can't have it both ways. Well, it's same way with the way we play games. I'm a super competitive person. Like, I've only thrown one game in my life, and it was a tennis game with a teenager who was like going through some emotional stuff. And I was like, I felt bad for him, and I'm still dealing with throwing that game. But I don't like to do that. I'm not going to win every game, but I am always going to give my best effort. And my family and I, we play games all the time. And when the kids were little, we would play, and I'm not giving them any quarter, you know? I'm gonna try to win, and they always ask, we always ask, hey, what game do y'all want to play? And everybody says, I don't care. And so I say, hey, let's play Monopoly. And they're like, no, it's gonna take all day. But every once in a while, we would play Monopoly, and there was this one time, and I was trying my hardest to win, and I got Corbin and Holly and Hannah, we're all playing together on a card table in the living room. In fact, I want to show you a picture of the results of that on the screen. So there's Hannah, and she is pointing out to the world all that I own, which was like Baltic Avenue, which was the cheapest thing on the board. And we started out even, and I just landed on every one of their properties, and I had mortgaged everything out. Like it was awful. And I was down to this final thing, and I think I landed on one of Hannah's properties, and I owed her that. And I just, in this moment, I looked over at Hannah and I said, Hannah, sweet girl, I love you. Can I have some money? Like, can I borrow some money? And Hannah's just, she's so, like, Hannah's our giving child. Like, she was so nice, and she says, Dad, no. She's like, no, you can't have it. It's mine. She steals it from me. She didn't steal it. She gave it to me, and I had to bow out. It was not a good day. I still remember it because I do not like to lose. But today, we are kind of going to be talking about how when someone asks you for resources or money, what do you do in that moment? In fact, we've been going through this series talking about this Old Testament guy named Joseph who was a slave in Egypt, and he rises to prominence, and he has this opportunity to be generous to other people. In fact, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how through his story, we can learn how to spend our resources well. He actually had a budget. There was a famine that was going to be coming. They were in this moment of plenty, and they were saving some money or saving some grain and putting it aside because they knew that the time was going to come when they didn't have the same resources. And so it's just this ancient story, but there's so much to learn from it. Well, today we're going to look at towards the end of the story of how he was able to use what he had to be generous towards other people. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 41, and we're going to be going through this story pretty rapidly, but there's a great message, I think, for all of us today. We're going to be talking about giving and generosity, and I know that there's so many different people in different places. There's a spectrum of giving here in this room and online, if you're watching online, and it doesn't matter where you're at, whether you are a super generous person or that's just not something you do. God has a lesson for every single one of us today. So here's what happens starting in verse 50. So they've been saving up and saving up and saving up while there was plenty. And it says this, that during this time, before the first of the famine years, two sons were born to Joseph and his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphera, the priest of On. It says Joseph, he named his older son, get this, Manasseh. What does Manasseh mean? It says, for he said, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. And then Joseph named his second son Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in this land of my grief. And why are we looking at that this morning? Well, sometimes in the Bible, you just kind of hear the stories of the people, but you don't really know what's going on in their minds and in their heart. But here in this story, you can actually see what was going on in Joseph's life. He In the middle of all of his pain and struggles in this whirlwind of a life, he names his two kids something really important. He calls his first kid Manasseh, meaning God has made me forget about all my troubles, all of my problems of me losing everything in my life, being a slave. God has blessed me in my life. And he is actually, because of his blessings in my life, he's made me forget of all my problems. That's what he named his first kid. It's kind of crazy. Then he has another child. He names him Ephraim, meaning I am doubly fruitful. I'm doubly blessed. And what he does in this moment is he reveals to us what was going on in his heart. He realized just how good God had been to him. The Bible says in Psalm 34:8 that we're supposed to do something. We're supposed to taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you realize how good God has been to you? Do you realize just how generous he's been to you? His generosity is his goodness towards you. In fact, the Bible talks about it over 60 times, just how good he has been. And so today, we're going to talk about how this story can play into our level of generosity in this life, whether it's to a church or to a person or to a nonprofit or just people in need. How does generosity play into our walk with God? Another way to ask this question is, how can my life be generously well spent? There's several different ways we see in this text. And the first one is what we just read, that we need to open our eyes to how good God has been. Sometimes we're just blind. Sometimes we're blind to it. But think about this. Think about your family. Think about how good God has been and the blessings he's given you with your home and your job. And I mean, all you got to do is go and open up your refrigerator or open up your pantry. And when you open it up, man, it's just full, right? It's just full. And if we were to give one word for our our generation and to characterize our generation, I would say that abundance is the word, you know? I mean, compared to all of human history, compared to even people living right now, we have been abundantly blessed. It's awesome what God has done. We're supposed to see that. We're supposed to thank God for it, but also to be changed in our lives. And that's exactly what Joseph did. Joseph's heart was changed, because I want you to kind of put yourself in his shoes. I like to do that when I think about Bible characters, but think about how he probably should have responded in a situation. I know my heart, and I know how I would probably be. First off, I would be pretty bitter. I'd be bitter at God and at other people and the situation I found myself in. I mean, if I was the favored son of 11 boys, and I had the coat of many colors, and everything was awesome, and then my brothers, they betray me, and they try to kill me, and then they send me off, they sell me into slavery, and I find myself in a foreign country, I don't know the language, I'm the lowest slave that there is. I would be ticked, right? I would be like, where are you, God? Why have you done this to me? Yeah, that's not Joseph's story, that's not what he did. And then Joseph, his story continues, and he rises to prominence over several years until he becomes the second in command of all of Egypt. I know what my heart would have been like as well. I've been like, guys, rags to riches story, baby, right? I'm selling books. I'm doing traveling tours. I'm telling everybody all the things, all my hard work and the things that I've done. I probably would have been pretty prideful. And Joseph had an opportunity to do that as well, but he doesn't do that. He's not bitter and he's not prideful. That's not what he does. Here's what he does in verse 56. It says, so with severe famine everywhere, Joseph opened up the storehouses and he distributed grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout the land of Egypt. He gave. God had changed his heart. He said, man, God has been so good to me. I am doubly blessed. And all of a sudden, he has an opportunity to either hoard all of those things or to bless other people as God had blessed him. He could have been bitter about it. He could have been prideful about it, but he wasn't. That wasn't his story. But also, the story doesn't end right there. A lot of times, we kind of finish right there. All right, Joseph gave. Everybody was saved. That's a good story. Let's pray and let's gather. But that's not where the story really ends. There's several more chapters, actually, through the rest of Genesis, for several chapters. It kind of tells the ins and outs of what's going on. And in the middle of this, here's something interesting that we see that it gets really personal for Joseph. And giving is always personal, isn't it? Giving, when you're giving to like a church or a nonprofit or to a family or to a friend, someone in need, there's this moment of like, can I trust you? Maybe kind of, am I going to get paid back? Or what's the agreement here? And are you using it wisely? There's this moment of like hesitation in that. Like, anybody have any cash on them? Anybody? Get some cash? Can I have some? So here's the deal. We don't get paid till Thursday. I really want to take my... Yeah. I really want to take my family. Can I... Oh, hey, look at this. Okay. It's a lot of ones in there. Okay. Travis, thank you, man. Appreciate it. It's great. It's going to really help my family out. That's kind of awkward, and there's like a hesitation there, right? Ever had someone just ask you for money, and you're always kind of like, I want to know if it's being used properly, right? I want to know what it's actually being used for. I'm kind of hesitant. I need some more information. And that's exactly what happened. Thank you. I'm keeping that. That's exactly what happened to Joseph. It gets personal for him. And he wants to know more information because his family shows up. They don't know it's him. They don't know he's the one that's in charge of Egypt now. They thought he killed their youngest brother. They show up. His brothers show up because there's famine up in Canaan. They know that there's food in Egypt. And so they go down there and they arrive and they ask for help. And honestly, it's an opportunity for Joseph to just kick them out, or it's an opportunity for Joseph to be generous. But here's the cool thing, the crazy thing. You're probably not going to hear this in another sermon about generosity, but look what happens to Joseph. Joseph, he doesn't just give it freely. He's careful with how he gives. Look what happens in verse 7. It says, Joseph, he recognized his brothers instantly. They didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. But he pretended to be a stranger, and he spoke harshly to them. Where are you from? He demanded. And they said, from the land of Canaan, we have come to buy food. You're like, what is going on in this story? Why is he being a jerk? In fact, he goes on over and over again. He calls them spies, and he accuses them of just being sneaky about all this. Why is he doing this? And the truth is that he was just looking for the facts. He was looking for the facts. He was looking for the truth. And so the brothers, they actually say, okay, here's what's going on. We're starving. And we actually have a dad back at home. And there's 70 other of our family members. Our dad, he's over 100 years old. He can't work anymore. Our whole family is starving. There are 10 of us here. We used to have a younger brother, but he's no longer with us. They didn't know that Joseph was the same guy. And they said, hey, and also we have another brother named Benjamin, and he's the youngest. And Joseph didn't even know. He didn't know that he had another brother. But Joseph's not convinced. He wanted more information. You ever had someone just tell you what they thought you wanted to hear? You know, like give you the sob story. Hey, I don't get paid till Thursday. I need some help. Travis, can you help me out, buddy? Brother, can you help me out? Like ever had anybody do that to you? Happens all the time. And that's what was going on. Joseph wanted to make sure that they were honest about if he was going to give to them, he wanted to make sure that it was being used for the right things. And Joseph does something that's kind of crazy in the middle of the story. He has this secret weapon to help him to know if they're being honest or not. It's kind of crazy. Look what happens in verse 23. The Bible says this. Of course, they didn't know that Joseph understood them, for he had been speaking to them through an interpreter. Like, they were speaking Hebrew, and Joseph could speak that language, but he's over here speaking Egyptian, using an interpreter, and so he could kind of over, you know, listening to their side conversations to try to figure, that's so sneaky, isn't it? It's like shady and dishonest, it seems like, but what's really going on? Here's what I think was going on. Joseph, he recognized that he was accountable for every single piece of grain that was given. And he wanted to make sure that it was going to be used for the right reasons. He was asking, can I trust you with our hard-earned resources? which I think is a second lesson on generosity that we all need to have in our lives. It's this. We need to be wise givers, okay? It's not wrong to ask questions. It's not wrong to want to know how your hard-earned resources are being used. In fact, the Bible calls us to be cheerful givers, you know? One of the best ways to be a cheerful giver is to know that your resources are being spent wisely, right? When you can give to an organization, you give to a person, you know that they're going to do what they say they're going to do with it. And here's one of the questions, the biggest questions that people have when it comes to like giving to your church or anything like that is, what happens when I give to my church? So what happens when you give? Let me answer this. What happens when you give at Central? Here's what happens. It goes to a team of staff members and volunteers, and it's kept out of my hands. Praise the Lord, right? You know, I have no access to all those things. It goes to a great group of people that have all these layers of control and protection and helping to make sure that every single dollar is being used for God's kingdom and for incredible things. Every single dollar is used for eternal significance, whether it's discipling the next generation or funding missionaries around the world or meeting people's needs. Or I would say that one of the biggest ways that we use the resources here is actually to provide a community for you and your family that is real and authentic and biblical. That's what happens when you give to your local church. And your church has an opportunity to do some incredible things. But here's another question. What happens when you don't give? That's another question I guess we could ask. And the answer is that your church has to say no to other people. And honestly, when there's opportunities and we believe that God's opening up doors, sometimes we have to say no to even things we think that God is calling us to do. And so it's a serious issue when you think about how does a church operate and it is funded, and it's not just our church, but it's any church, wherever you find yourself, it's important to think about how is the church operating and how are funds being used? Because I get it. We want to know, can I trust where my giving is going? Because we all have, you know, internet. We can see all the crazy stuff that's out there. We hear terrible stories of people embezzling funds and doing crazy things. I get it. There's bad actors out there. And so it's important to ask questions. Where is your funds going? And just like Noah said earlier in the announcements, that's why we have a member meeting. We have transparency and show you. So if you're a member, hey, come and join us. If you're not a member, we'd love for you to come and just hear how resources are being spent. And I pray that you'd see that they're being spent well. This is what Joseph did. He was a wise giver, and you and I should be wise givers and want to know how is our money being spent. Well, after Joseph did all of his investigations, he realized, okay, this is a worthy endeavor. And so what he does is he sends his brothers back to Canaan. Okay, I'm going to fund you, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to send you back. And here's what he says, or here's what happens in verse 25. It says, Joseph then ordered his servants to fill the men's sacks with grain, but he also gave secret instructions to return each brother's payment at the top of the sack. He also gave them supplies for their journey home, which is pretty cool. He doesn't just give them grain, but secretly he gave... So back then, they would actually exchange goods. That's how giving happened. It was a cultural thing, and so they were actually paying for it. And yet, he does something incredible. He hides their money back in their with all the rest of the grain, which teaches us something really important about giving. That when you do decide to give, give with grace. This is what Joseph does. He gave with grace. What is grace? Grace is giving you something you don't deserve, okay? They didn't deserve it. They were supposed to exchange, but instead he went above and beyond, and he gave to them with no strings attached. Jesus talks about it, but how we should give that way. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, here's what he says. Jesus went to the extreme here, okay, to teach a lesson. He says, here's what you need to do. Someone that you don't like, here's how you should treat them. He says, love your enemies. He goes even further and says, do good to them. And he gives a great example of how you can do good to other people. He says, lend to them, get this, without expecting to be repaid. What he's saying is be generous to others with grace. Be generous to others with no strings attached. And there's a great benefit for it. Here's what he goes on and says. He says, then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. What he's saying is that when you're generous, God also will take care of you. God is generous back to us. But there's something else back in the story in Genesis that happens. The brothers, they're traveling, and they open up their sacks, and they're like, there's all the money here. Like, oh no, who put the money back? They thought that someone had stolen it. They were scared about what was going to happen. And so they turn around and they head back, and they meet back up with Joseph's team. And they're like, hey, we're so sorry. We don't know what happened. And so Joseph is, hey, my brothers are back. I'm going to throw them a party. I'm going to throw them a dinner. And so they're preparing the dinner. All of his brothers, all his 10 of his brothers are kind of off in the wings waiting to talk to Joseph and trying to figure out, how do we get out of this situation? We don't know who put the money back in there. And so Joseph's manager comes, kind of maybe his right-hand guy, and they confess to him, we don't know what happened, we want to apologize for all this, and look what his manager says. He says, relax, don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, must have put this treasure into your sacks. That's really cool. This manager recognized that it wasn't about Joseph. This isn't Joseph being the hero story. This is God being the hero story. And the manager recognized that and said, no, that wasn't Joseph. It was God. God did it. Meaning that God gets the glory. This isn't, Joseph doesn't get the glory. God gets the glory, which is another great lesson for us on how to give with generosity. It's this, to realize that God is working through you. Do you know that? How does God change people's lives? How does he reach the lost? He can do it in a lot of different ways. He chooses to use you. He's working through you. You and I had this incredible opportunity to shine a spotlight on God. We give it a chance not to shine our spotlight on us when in our generosity, but on God, who is generous in incredible ways in all things. And I'll say this, he's also generous with the thing. You know what he gave? His son. God the Father gave us his son, Jesus, who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross to pay for our sins. He put Jesus up on the cross. How generous is that? He was generous to us long before we've ever been generous to him. And when you give to whatever it is, to whoever it is, it's an opportunity to say it all comes from God. God gets the glory, and I get to give because he gave to me first. Now, here's another final kind of big question that a lot of people will ask when it comes to being generous or giving. And the question is, you ready for this? How much? Okay, Clayton, I need to be generous. I need to give, but like, how much am I supposed to give? Well, there is a final lesson here in this story. We see from Joseph's example. So they have this big banquet. And then he sends his brothers back again. He says, hey, I want you to go back and I want you to talk to your dad. He didn't reveal himself yet, but I want you to talk to your dad. And here's what he does. In verse 21, it says, the sons of Jacob, they did as they were told. And Joseph provided them with, get this, I underlined a bunch of different things he gave. He gave wagons, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he gave them supplies for the journey, and he gave each of them new clothes. But to Benjamin, he gave 5 changes of clothes and 300 pieces of silver. I don't know why the youngest always gets all the stuff. I don't know. He also sent his father 10 male donkeys loaded with the finest products of Egypt and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other supplies he would need on his journey. Like us today, I'm like, I don't want a donkey. I'm good. Like, you know, it just seems like a lot of work. What's going on? How do we translate that from thousands of years ago to here? Here's the translation. Joseph was loaded. Okay, that's the translation. Joseph had some cash. I mean, think about this. He had the second highest salary in all of Egypt, okay? I mean, he had a ton of resources and a ton of money. And so what does Joseph teach us here? Here's what he teaches us about giving. To answer the question of how much, Here's the answer. Give at your life's level. If you want to know how much you're called by God to give, the answer is at your life's level. God has given every single one of us a level of how much we should give. Jesus talks about it in Mark chapter 12. There's this crazy story. Jesus is in the temple, and he's people watching. You ever people watch? Right? I lived at the airport. I'm like, where are all these people from? Like, you know, what's their story? And so Jesus is doing that. It says Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple, so where people would come and give. And he watched as the crowds dropped in their money. And many rich people put in large amounts. They came and they had their sack full of coins, and they would turn them over and shake them out, make sure everybody, you guys see that? Yeah, I'm very religious. And they would shake all that out. And it says, then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. And Jesus, he calls his disciples to him. He's like, hey guys, you got to see this. Come watch these people with me. And he says this, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. And you would go, what? No, she's not. And he explains and says, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. What Jesus is saying is that she made a sacrifice. It wasn't a sacrifice to them. It didn't hurt, right? It wasn't worshipful. They were doing that in a prideful way, and she was sacrificing. What she was saying is, God, you're worth it. God, you're worth it. And so for you, how much should you give to whatever you're called to give to? It's up to you. That's the beauty of it. God gives you the ability to make that decision. But here's my encouragement to you. Be like Joseph. Be like this widow. Give to a level where you can say, God, you're worth it. God, you're worth it. So if you're rich, if you're wealthy, give like it. To whatever God calls you to give to. Be generous as God has been generous to you. And if you're like you're poor, you're not exempt. Everyone is called to give. We're still called to be like God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says that you must each decide in your heart how much to give. I love that about the Bible. It doesn't say you got to give this much or whatever. It says you decide. But look, be like God. You decide how much you're called to give. And it goes on and says, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. This isn't a sales pitch. Someone's pressuring you to give. Like, your heart's wrong. It's in a bad situation. Don't do it that way. He says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. That's why I love tithing. I don't know if you're a tither in here or not, but what tithing is just where everybody gives what they believe God has called them to give, to where they can say, God, you're worth it, just consistently and regularly. And the cool thing about tithing is what it does is it levels the playing field. Where every person, they're all sacrificing equally. You're not relying on just someone, one family or some rich person, but instead all together, you're the body of Christ, like working together in unity, on mission together, telling people about Jesus and making much of him through our lives and through our unity as a church. I love that. And here's the cool thing about being generous. Lives get changed. That's worth it, you know? Lives are changed, but here's a bonus. Your life has changed as well. When we are like God, he blesses us in incredible ways. So here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to something. Think about this whole sermon series. Look, if you don't have a budget in your life, you don't have a plan, get a plan, okay? Also, you need to be thinking about saving money for the famine years. The famine years are when you have to retire someday. Some of you guys are retired right now. And when you're in prosperity, when you're in your working years, make sure you're saving. It's something honorable to do. It's smart. It's wise to do that for you and your family. But also, I'm going to encourage you to do this. Be generous like Joseph. He was a generous person. Because he was trying to be like God. But I'll go one step further. Be obedient like Joseph. Y'all know what obedience is? Obedience in its very simplest form is just following someone else's example. Think about this. God gave first, didn't he? And he gave his level. What is God's level? I can't go high enough, right? God's level of generosity is huge. And you know what he gave? He gave everything. He gave his son to die on the cross for you and for me. Joseph was just mimicking God at his level. Can you do the same? I want to challenge you to think about that and pray about that. Now, here's the thing. I'll say this when we talk about giving. A lot of people don't like to talk about money. Why is the church always talking about money? Like, here's the deal. You know why we talk about money? Because it's something we all deal with every single day, right? We shouldn't hide from it. We should talk about it. And the Bible has something for it, for us about that. And here's the truth. We don't want something from you. We don't. God is providing for our church in incredible ways. It's not about money. We want something for you. And God wants something for you. He's got a plan. It's found in his word. Budget, save, give. It's not just a modern thing to do. It's a biblical, time-honored, tested thing that God blesses. Here's the question. Will you ignore that and just do things on your own? Or will you submit under God's leadership and live like Joseph lived? Let's pray. Father, help us to honor you with our wealth. We're accountable to you for it, whether we have a lot or we have little. Help us, God, to be faithful. Help us to, we don't have a budget, we don't have a plan. I pray that you would put that on our heart. We wouldn't just continue to go through the motions, but we would sit down with our family and we would think about that and make some decisions so that each of us can have freedom in our finances. Help us, Lord, to save and be wise, to live off of less than what we make. But Lord, also I pray that you'd help us to be more like you. You gave to us first. You're so generous, and you call us to be like you in obedience. Lord, whatever that looks like in our lives, you put that in our hearts. Not so we can make much of ourselves, but we can make much of you. That you be honored in it, lives would be changed. Because we're being generous like you are. Thank you for Joseph's example and his story. What a great example for all of us. I pray, God, for anyone listening, anyone here in this room who's never received the greatest generosity that you've ever given, which is the gift of your son's sacrifice on the cross. I pray that today might be the day of salvation for someone. They repent of their sins, turn from trying to do things on their own and earn their way to heaven. Instead, they would trust in Jesus, who freely gave his life for them, who rose from the grave, is in heaven waiting for them someday return to him. God, lead us right now. Teach us this week. Help us to make some changes and some decisions to bring you honor and glory in our lives. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.